We start Monday on the right foot, and we head up to Indianapolis. The Indiana Chamber of Commerce, the president and CEO, is our great friend and Bloomingtonian, Kevin Briniger, joining us live today. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hello.
Great to hear from you.
I'm fantastic. I was just down.
You were one of those million people that were down this way? I drove by the dorms yesterday. Holy cow, they're parked on the sidewalks. They're everywhere. Everybody's coming back, but you're not coming back to school. You are back for a very cool reunion. Tell us all about it.
Yes, when I finished up at Bloomington North and headed to IU, I had sights on, of all things, being a state trooper. And in the university and IUPD, had started a program in 1972, had their first graduating class in 73, their cadet officer training program, where you could do your law enforcement training over the course of 2 summers. And at the end of the second summer, you were a fully licensed police officer who could work for IUPD part-time and go to school full-time during the regular school year. And I was a graduate of that academy. They graduated their 50th class this past Saturday, and then had a big reunion for all the former graduates, and got to see lots of old friends and instructors, and Jim Kennedy, who used to be the overall director of IUPD. And it was well worth the trip down. My wife and I had lunch with my parents before heading over to Memorial Stadium in the north end zone area, which is a beautiful facility now.
Did you see that? Well, you probably haven't. I think this news just came out in the last, 3 o'clock. So the Indiana Department of Intercollegiate Athletics, the future of Memorial Stadium, they have partnered with Nations Group to examine opportunities for transformative project to modernize it. I haven't read through the whole press release yet, but the old girl's been there since when? The late 60s? So,
I want to say 1953 is what I remember.
Oh, I know the design process took a while, or maybe I'm confusing that with Assembly Hall.
I might be.
But that is, they are going to take a look at some renovations and some ways to modernize everything that goes on. So that's brand new, hot off the presses today. And busy times. In busy times, of course, in Indianapolis, and the Chamber of Commerce, again, the leading voice up there for policy advocacy and everything else that goes on. And you've got a new playbook. Before we get to that, though, I don't think we've spoke since the legislative session has ended up, and all the T's were crossed and the I's were dotted. What was your general consensus feeling from the chamber when everything went through the governor's desk earlier this year?
Well, it was a very strong and positive legislative session. I'd even say one of the high water marks in my time around the General Assembly, and particularly for businesses and for Hoosiers in general. Part of that was because the state was in extremely good financial shape and had some extra money to invest in different places, and did so. And then for the business community, the very first bill the governor signed, Senate Bill 2, provided federal tax relief for all of our pass-through businesses, everything but C corporations, to the tune of maybe $150 million. Didn't hurt the state's revenues at all, so it was a win-win-win. And we were pleased to work on that with our friends at the CPA Society and get that through. Plus, they accelerated the phase down of the individual income tax rate, which helps all of us, and again helps all those businesses that pay their business income tax liability on their individual income tax returns. And that was another $150 million in tax relief, and that's money that will stay here in Indiana and not go into what I call the black hole of the federal government, and recirculate through our economy, provide more jobs, help businesses make investments that'll allow them to stay competitive and become more competitive. We did some things in the workforce and education area. One of the things that was a priority for us was we have these kids that are eligible for free post-secondary education, the 21st century scholars for low-income students. But you had to enroll, and we found as recently as 2021 that only 40% of the eligible students were getting enrolled, and then only half of them were doing the three activities that they needed to continue to be able to earn that scholarship. And this year, at our urging and other allies, we got the General Assembly to pass legislation that will automatically enroll those students so that those families have that opportunity for a post-secondary education where they might not otherwise be able to afford it. There were things in the environment area. We restocked the Indiana Economic Development Corporation's toolkit with, I think, like $1.2 billion of assets with the deal closing fund and the site selection fund. And you see projects, that are being negotiated and recruited right now, as well as additional quality of place initiatives with a second round of regional cities, ready funding to the tune of $500 million that will go out to different regions in the state to fund trails and parks and other quality of place initiatives, which will continue our positive population growth, which stands out relative to our other Midwest states, which are losing population, as are states on the East Coast and West Coast, where it's just become too darn expensive to live and work.
Are these magnets to draw from these other states? Is it the business climate more important? Or it's all intertwined, isn't it, Kevin?
Yeah, it is. It's the business climate, and we have worked extremely hard, and the chamber has often been the tip of the spear on having the best business climate in the Midwest and one of the best in the country. And we weren't there at the turn of the century. So we've got a great business climate, and the IEDC is out there selling the heck out of it, and people are looking around and saying, you know what, I can get a lot more for my money if I move to the Midwest, and, which Midwest state do I want to move to? Well, Indianapolis area was just ranked as one of the best and most affordable places for young entrepreneurs. And has great cost of living. You can buy and get more for your dollar. You can travel around without being dead stuck in traffic. And, you just have a better overall quality of life here in the Midwest. And so, it all fits together. And now we've got, two rounds of regional the Ready Grants that are helping the communities make themselves more attractive. We don't have mountains and oceans. But we've got lakes, and we've got rivers to raft on, and we've got plenty of hiking and different places. And so we're sprucing ourselves up, and I think that will be well served in the future for making these investments today.
Kevin Brenniger is a Bloomington North Cougar. He is also the president and CEO of the Indiana Chamber of Commerce. And the economic development playbook for the state is called Indiana Prosperity 2035. I want to make sure I get my numbers right here. 2035.
Yeah, I'm having trouble with that too.
Yeah, that's. I'm starting to add those up and say, gee whiz. But the longer range plans there, you always have to have that on the back burner, and you're moving it to the front burner. Why is that so important to look that far into the future to make sure that we stay on the path we're on?
Well, this will be our third long-range economic visioning plan for the state. And the Indiana Chamber of Commerce, representing businesses in all 92 counties and is an organization that is now in its 101st year. We're here for the long haul. We've come to realize that elected officials, as good as they may be, come and go. We've got a governor who's going to be term limited next year. We have other legislators who retire or sometimes get defeated. And so our organization, our board of directors, has decided that we need to take ownership of Indiana's economic future because we're here for the long haul, and we can put forth long-range plans like Indiana Prosperity 2035 and be the keeper of those plans. And we use that as our guiding star for our advocacy to to share with policymakers to show where our strengths are and also where we need to keep trying to move forward. And through the first two plans, we've accomplished so much. We have one of the best business, tax, and regulatory climates. We have challenges, as other states do, with their workforce. But when you look at the percentage of our adult population that has a post-secondary degree or credential or certificate, we've come very far in the last 10 years, but we still rank in the bottom third of the states. And so, this is a talent-driven economy. The tax climate, the infrastructure, all that are still important, but they're not as important as they were 20 years ago. Businesses, when they think about expanding, when they think about locating, it's, you know, what kind of workforce have you got? Do you have people with the skills to fill the jobs that I have? And we've seen data that show that of the newly created jobs, not jobs that are open just because somebody's left or they've retired and we're just going to fill somebody to do the same job, but of the newly created jobs, over 95% of them require more than a high school diploma. And so lifting up the skills of our adult workforce and doing better than we are in K-12 to be able to have our high school graduates be able to compete for in this knowledge-based economy is going to make the difference and make or break us as to how well we're able to compete over the next 12 to 15 years.
How much of that plan is flexible to move on, Kevin, based on what federal regulations or I don't want to say the pandemic word again, but you can't put everything in there. Is it more of a roadmap that can be adjusted? It's just more bigger picture items. Is that what we're looking at?
Well, in fact, the pandemic caused us to pivot and start working on this plan, which our current plan, if you want to call it that, Indiana Vision 2025, had an end date of 2025. But when the pandemic hit and we saw this great upheaval in the economy and all the change that was going on, our board of directors, our foundation board said, you know what, it does not make sense to just put blinders on and run out the clock on to 2025. We need to pivot. We need to start now on a new plan, a new set of goals. So yes, it is. It will be flexible. The 2025 plan, we did a refresh in 2015 after it was initially released in 2012 because we had an opioid crisis that was starting, and we realized we had no goals, no metrics that we were following with respect to opioid deaths and other drug-related issues. And so we added some things there. We also checked the box on some things that we'd already accomplished. We eliminated the inheritance tax. We became the first right-to-work state in the Midwest. And so we were able to kind of check those boxes, and we did a refresh. And I certainly expect, depending on what happens in the world and in the economy over the next 12 years, that there will likely be adjustments to the goals and the direction of this plan as well. I just saw rankings, national rankings on health, and unfortunately, Indiana's in the bottom 10 states on smoking, on obesity, on several other key health metrics, and that's not where we want or need to be. And particularly, it adds to the cost of health care and makes us becomes a strike against us on the attractiveness side, and because we have members who have facilities in multiple states, and almost to a person or company, they'll tell us that Indiana is their highest healthcare cost state, so we could be doing better. And we've made some progress there with raising the legal age for smoking and vaping, and imposing a tax on the vaping products, whereas a couple of years ago they weren't taxed at all, like cigarettes and other tobacco products are. And that's to help discourage particularly young people, teenagers, from starting to use these products and then getting hooked on nicotine, because one vaping cartridge, for example, contains as much nicotine as an entire pack of cigarettes. And so we're seeing young people get hooked, and often there are more people that go from vaping to smoking and from smoking to vaping, and lots of folks that actually do both, depending on the setting. And it's a sad state of affairs when we have our school corporations spending hard-earned taxpayer dollars to put vaping detectors in their student restrooms because there's so much of that activity going on, and I see that in different school corporations around the state. So yeah, we have to stay after it. We've got to get healthier, and that's part of establishing and enhancing our overall competitiveness.
Yeah, it's not a waste of money, but you could use it for much better things.
You could use it, ideally, you prefer to use it for other things.
Yeah, textbooks and things like that. But you have a wellness summit coming up. That's going to be next month in September. That kind of dovetails in with this.
Yeah, it does. The Wellness Council of Indiana is a nonprofit subsidiary of the Indiana Chamber. We provide assistance with smoking cessation, a lot on mental health. We have individuals on staff that work for the Wellness Council that will go into companies and sort of train the trainers. We call it mental health first aid to help business leaders, HR directors, et cetera, understand and identify and help employees that are having difficulties with mental health, whether it be substance abuse or anxiety or loneliness. There's a lot of things that have flared up during the pandemic that are more prevalent. We also supported legislation on the Behavioral Health Commission recommendations. Indiana is going to participate in the national 988 behavioral health, mental health hotline, and the General Assembly has made new appropriations of $50 million a year to help with our community mental health centers and our whole behavioral health issue to tackle these problems.
Again, more positivity, trying to move it up the ladder with tangible ways of doing it. It's better for everybody. Mm-hmm. It's better for employers. It's better for the workforce. That's coming up September 13th and 14th. You can find more information. Yes. IndianaChamber.com. And before I let you go, I know you got another meeting at 4 o'clock. I got to get you out the door here. We talk about all the fun things. But a fun thing that happened last year is back this year, the coolest thing made in Indiana. Well, that competition's coming back.
Yes, it is. And it is fun. It's amazing to see the things, the manufactured products that are made right here in Indiana, whether it's edible items, chocolates and things, whether it's our original winner was Hoosier Bat Company that makes a wooden baseball bat that is more durable than the traditional bats and is starting to be used by minor and even major league teams. It's just an amazing, and it's set up as a March Madness type bracket competition where there's voting that takes place each week, and then the winners move on until we get to eventual Final Four, and then additional voting happens to determine the coolest thing made in the state of Indiana.
Excellent. Well, Kevin, I always appreciate your time. I'm going to get caught up
with you
right after your wellness summit. We'll see how that went and get ready for the fourth and final quarter, buddy. Thanks.
All right, you keep things going positively down there in Bloomington, and try to – I know the streets are going to be a little bit busier. I even have a niece who was moving in on Sunday. So what is it, this the population of Bloomington doubles or triples?
Yeah, doubles. It probably doubles, that's right. Well, if not, the car traffic does, that's for sure. But some of those folks will leave, the students will stick around, and we'll have you back as September rolls on, buddy. Thanks.
Sounds great. Good to visit with you.